Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining in. And I just am so privileged to have a very special guest and friend with us today who has recently completed her 50th Ironman triathlon. What? Yes, the full distance Ironman triathlon, 2.4 mile swim, 112 mile bike ride, 26.2 mile marathon. 50 times. Are you kidding me? Just for the record, I did a little research, Dana, and that's over 7,000 miles in total. Or you could think of Tana swim bike running from San Francisco to New York and back to San Francisco, and maybe
Wow.
then some. And what really got me, and we'll get into it, is that does include the training miles. She's probably circling the globe a few times. Anyway, folks, let me introduce you to Tana Jackson, whom I have had the benefit of knowing more than 25 years. Actually, I think we're closer to 30 almost.
Probably.
In fact, I happen to be wearing a t-shirt, if you look very closely,
Remember
that
that one?
I got in Hawaii in 1999 with Tana. Tana, thank you so much for doing this and for taking the time. Let me just start with what number was that race in 1999 of your total of 50 Ironman triathlons? Right away, I'm curious with that. And how are you feeling about the 50 milestone now that you're on the other side of it?
Yeah, well, first of all, Mike, thank you for having me. I do remember that race in 1999. That was also my first Kona. Yeah.
Oh, man.
My first Ironman was in 98. And so that would have been the Kona in 99 would have been my fourth Ironman.
And if I could inject, I know you don't just show up at Kona. What one was the qualifier to get you into the Kona race?
I qualified in, I was going to say Ironman New Zealand because I did it that year, but I did not qualify in New Zealand. I qualified in Canada a couple weeks before Kona.
Oh, okay. And we got to qualify that. Penticton?
Penticton.
Penticton. Okay. Tanner and I have crossed a couple times, but believe me, you'll see right away the two separate very quickly. And so, you know, 50. And now that you've had a couple months to kind of let it settle in. Anything, I'm just curious in your perspective, how's that sitting?
Yeah, it's interesting. 50, I kind of made 50 a big deal when it was going to be in 2020. I was going to do my 50th in 2020, and I was going to be 50 that year. And I kind of made that a big deal at the time. My parents were coming, my friend was coming out of retirement to race with me, and kind of making it a big thing. I think that all kind of started because I did my 48th Ironman on my 49th birthday. Like on the actual birthday. And that's when I started to think about, I should do 50 on my 50th. Well, we all know what happened in 2020 and didn't race for a couple of years. Races were canceled. And then in 2022, I was going to race in, I was going to do Ironman St. George and I crashed 3 weeks before. So I actually went 5, 6 years without racing after my 48th Ironman,
My goodness.
with that 50th on the horizon. And was kind of not sure that I was ever even going to get there. So then when I decided to do it this year and had, such a great race at Ottawa, which was my first race back after 6 years, good enough to qualify for Kona, which, really wasn't the plan going in, but how special was that to make then my 50th be Kona instead of just the next year at a race that I signed up for. So yeah, super happy to have made it there. It's kind of surprising to me how many people remember that I was going to do my 50th. And I must have said that to so many people because everyone has asked me over these 6 years when I wasn't even racing, have you done your 50th yet? So I am happy to have that behind me.
Good.
But then here I am, and I've already signed up again for another race this year. So it's not like, the end of the chapter, but yes, I got to that milestone, and I'm super happy to be there.
Has to feel good. And you mentioned a word we're going to come back to, but I want you to hold it. Crashed. That sounds like something there's more to tell. But I have a question around that in total. So let's go back to that. And let me just say there's so much, Tana, so much to know about this whole experience. But let me just start with is, looking at Ironman triathlons, is there one that's your most memorable and then maybe one that's your favorite? I'm just curious, how would you, does one of the 50 stand out as most memorable? And then what would be your favorite?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, probably the most memorable has to be the Ironman St. George in 2012. It was
Oh, wow.
when just huge DNF rate, 29%, I think, where the winds just kicked up, blew all the buoys off the swim course. I think, half the people who did finish the race definitely didn't finish the swim because I saw people just going to shore. I mean, there was no course.
Yeah.
The entire race was just so windy. The whole time I was riding, I was thinking it was a two loop. And I was thinking, okay, I'm sure they've canceled the race. When I get back to town, I will find out that the race was canceled.
Yeah.
It wasn't. You keep going. Same thing, the whole run. Just a crazy, crazy year. So that one is super memorable.
Wow.
I wouldn't call that a favorite.
Yeah.
There's also just a lot of really memorable moments, I suppose, of all of the
Interesting.
different races. A lot of races that I raced with my husband, remembering the times on the course. When I've raced with you, remembering the
Yeah.
times on the course when we
Yeah.
crossed paths. My very first Ironman, was with a girlfriend from college. We raced together, and the whole race, we were, she was a much stronger swimmer and cyclist. Apart for the entire race, we actually met up in the finish chute and
Oh my
crossed the
gosh.
finish line together.
Oh my word.
So,
Wow. That was your
simple.
first.
Yeah, that was my
Which
very first
one?
98 Penticton.
Penticton, Canada. Wow. That's something.
So super memorable moments. As far as favorites, it definitely, I would say Penticton. Just love the course there. You know that race. Single loop, everything just makes it so special. There's not a lot of those these days anymore. All of the Canadas tend to be my favorite. I've also done three of the Whistlers. I did Mont-Tremblant. This year I did the inaugural Ottawa.
Wow.
So Canada always puts on a good race. And then memorable, I do have one other memorable race to mention when I did Lanzarote in 2000 and the airline lost my bike and
Where
I
now,
got to
where's
do
Lanzarote? Where's that?
Canary Islands.
Oh my word. And the bike didn't show.
Bike didn't show up the whole time I was there. So I rode a road bike, men's Cannondale road bike that was too big for me that I rented from the hotel.
Are you kidding me? I
I
don't
got
remember
it.
this, really.
Yeah, I got it the day that we had to take our bike, had to drop it off in transition. So just, put that saddle down as far as it would go, which was still a little too big for me. It didn't have aero bars.
No air bars.
This was before races had the big expos where people had equipment that you could rent or, this was 2000 was kind of before all of that started. So kind of on
Wow.
my own. And Lanzarote is a volcanic island, so it's a lot like Hawaii and very hilly bike ride. So
Wow. But you finished.
I finished it. I would love to go back some year and do it on my own bike,
Yeah.
but super happy to finish. So that one was very memorable.
And you mentioned Penticton for your favorite. I was overwhelmed by a valley. Was it Okanagan Valley on the
The
bike ride?
Okanagan Valley,
Oh my word.
That's
That
Canada's
was,
wine country.
it was absolutely stunning and beautiful to ride. It would, hardly seemed like a race. It was so beautiful.
Yeah, the lake is
Wow.
stunning. The run course by Skaha, I think it was called. There's actually a lot of really good climbing there.
Oh, wow.
I've never done outdoor climbing, but I guess that's a great place to climb. Yeah, spectacular race.
Beautiful area. So what about, yeah, and I know you've had several, but there was one just stick out as your hardest? Like this was just terribly hard.
Yeah, so I already mentioned the 2012 Utah. So putting that
Yeah.
one aside, another really hard one, well, Tahoe in general. So there were three Tahoes, Ironman Tahoes, and I was there for all three of them. One of them was canceled due to the fires.
All right.
The first one was very, very cold. I've never been so cold. And so there are two things that make especially a swim hard, and that's altitude and cold. And Tahoe
Right.
had both.
Both.
So, yeah, the Ironman swim at altitude, Boulder is kind of the same. It's,
Same.
that just makes it that little bit harder. And then even the bike was very hilly in Tahoe. Also, I mean, any of those Konas when they're so windy, that's got to be the
Oh,
hardest
right,
bike. When,
out
I mean,
on.
that's the hard in a scary way, different from hard in a, course, the hilly course kind of
Out toward
way.
Javi, right?
Yeah, when
Yeah,
it just
around
gets
the
crazy
turnaround.
windy and people are getting blown off bikes and that kind of thing. And then as far as the runs, a hilly run, or I guess Coeur d'Alene can just be so hot. I did a
Hot.
couple of years when it was maybe, over 100 degrees, and
Yeah, that's that desert heat. That's
yeah.
hot.
Yeah, and the run can just be really, really hot. But, they have ice tubs and they make it fun. So,
And
but so it's a combination of all the races that were hard.
I want to follow up on how you deal with that, but that's another question coming. So save the thoughts because you have to have a strategy in that. Backing up to Tahoe, I remember you telling me, I think, I hope I'm not making this up, that when you got out of the swim, your bike was covered in like ice,
Ice.
or
Yeah.
literally out of that swim, your bike
Yes,
is covered in ice.
literally, you would see. I mean, so first of all, the change tents were just overrun with people. They had just nobody could get out of the change tent because everybody's transition was taking 20 plus minutes. You couldn't change because you were like this.
You couldn't move.
You couldn't move. So as you saw people coming out of the water, like the facial hair was just turning to ice, and like your eyelids were kind of freezing shut. It was absolutely crazy. I didn't go in the change tent. I just, quick got my stuff. I don't change clothes during Ironman,
Yeah,
so
you just
don't
go.
really need to go in a tent. And it still probably took me almost 10 minutes. A girlfriend of mine was there, Michelle Van Pesky, and she was volunteering, and she broke the ice for me on my bike. She took my steering wheel and cracked the ice so that it was ready
Yeah,
to go.
you are killing me now. And you finished that?
I finished that race. I
Oh.
didn't want to. There were several times during the bike where I was literally crying and my eyes were freezing shut because I was crying. And all I wanted to do was stop, but
Yeah.
there's nowhere, there was, it would have
Nowhere to
been
stop.
colder to even
Yeah.
stop. There was no way to get warm. So it just became, make it to the next aid station or make it to the next, I'll be warm in an hour. I just kept telling myself things like this.
Unbelievable. I think it, again, you or somebody that I knew was there that day said they were on the bike and saw someone go by wearing their full wetsuit. They never took their
Yes.
wetsuit
There was that. I had a I think I had a paper grocery bag stuffed down my jersey
Oh,
to keep the wind away, and I just wore everything I could find.
fine.
I didn't have a lot of
Oh my
warm race
God.
gear. I've never raced in a race like that, but I just had everything on that I own.
Jeez. Oh my gosh. Well, you've done many in Kona, and I want to just focus on Kona for a minute. And Kona, again, for those that don't know, are the world championships. So it's a big deal no matter what. You don't just show up at Kona, you qualify. But I just starting off with Kona, just given a high level, what's it like to compete there? How many times were you able to compete in the world championships in Kona?
Yeah, so I did Kona 13 times, or
Oh
I've
my
done it 13
gosh.
times, I guess I should say. It was including the last race that I just did.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's really special, first of all, because it's the World Championships. That just brings a whole nother level or of excitement and just the atmosphere. But also just the island. I mean, you know Hawaii. Your dad has had a place there, and you've spent a lot of time there. And it's just a really great place to be. Just, listening to the waves. I like to get an ocean view room so that I can sleep listening to the waves. And just I love the heat. So I love the I just love the environment at Kona. The bike ride on the Queen K is really just the perfect ride for me. I just love that. I love the heat. I love the rollers. Just everything about it. I know it's not, I call it beautiful. It's a beautiful island, but it's
I
a little
believe.
bit different from what people think of beautiful Hawaii, the Big Island is, but it's beautiful in its own way. And yeah, I just really love it there.
Yeah, I underscore that 100%. Not that I've competed like you have there, but there is something special there. So kind of looking at the overall picture, how can you break down, like, do you know, and that may be too hard of a question, just estimating, like, how many in Canada, how many in Hawaii, how many, do you have a feel? Did you just, it sounds like you really mixed it up. I mean, it wasn't 50 different ones, but what were the areas that you were racing and what ones just stuck out for any particular reason other than
I
Kona?
definitely had favorites that I would return to year after year. And so we've already mentioned Penticton. I did that one 12 times.
Oh gosh,
Yeah,
Penticton?
I did Penticton
I
12
did not
times.
realize that.
And mostly all in a row. I mean, you probably remember back then it was so hard to get into. You had to be there to get registered. And actually, the reason that my streak stopped was a real good friend of mine got married the day of race of Ironman
Ironman
Canada,
Canada.
and I was maid of honor in her wedding, and it was wonderful. I was happy to do it, but then we didn't race Penticton again for another couple years. Dale and I, we used to race that one together. And then Penticton was actually the race that I was going to do as my 50th in 2020. So that was another thing that was going to be,
Oh,
very
that would
special
have been
about
so
that
wonderful.
milestone. Yeah, it had come back, but then it was canceled. I believe it was still canceled the next year. They were going to hold it in 2022, maybe. I remember some, maybe it was canceled somewhat last minute in the COVID era. I don't know. Things are a little blurry back then, but I didn't end up doing it, even though I was signed up in 2020. And then, and now it's no longer a race. But as far as some others, Coeur d'Alene is also another favorite that I did several times. Of course, Hawaii. I like to do a lot of the local. I don't like to travel a lot, so I do like to, try to find all of the ones in the United States. But I also like to keep it to where I can race in our during our season, where I can train during. I don't like to race, say, in December or January.
Somewhere like New Zealand, for example, where you'd be training for the middle of winter here. Well, so tell me, as you've gone through these races, clearly your nutrition strategy has evolved. I and I know all members of the 7x7 are asking, tell us what, I mean, what have you done? What has your strategy been? Do you eat? Do you drink? Do you post-race, pre-race, and how has that evolved over the 50?
Yeah, it definitely it has evolved, but honestly, I've always just kind of been a little bit laid back about it, probably more than a lot of athletes. But I do care a lot about nutrition, and it has evolved. Of course, in the early years, we didn't have all of the nutrition that we have these days, right? You used to race on Fig Newtons and bananas, and we did have power bars. There actually is a funny story about that too. My very first, I believe it was my first Canada, my luggage didn't arrive. And I think it was Hammer Nutrition that I was using back then. And I had my Hammer Nutrition in my suitcase, which I didn't get. So I did my nutrition shopping at the Safeway the night before the race, and I had a tuna salad sandwich on rye in T1. I didn't finish it,
Did
but
I was going to say, did you get it down?
I didn't finish it, but I did. I think I had a bite. But no, that said, I do use, we tend to, I've always kind of been on a team. I was on Tri Bike Transport for years. I'm on AP Racing right now. The teams usually have a nutrition sponsor, and I'm pretty easy. I go with whatever sponsor the team has that year, or I also like to go with whatever Ironman has on the course that year.
Oh, okay.
So
Look
that I can
ahead
get,
and plan for
because
it.
yeah, to me, one of the most important things is that I want to drink it because I'm not somebody who will, I don't take in enough nutrition. I know that. So I know that I have to stay on it. And the thing that will make me drink the most is if I want to drink it, if it's cold, like if it's a hot day and my nutrition is cold. So I want to be able to get it from the course as
Yep.
much as I can.
Because they do keep it cold,
They
that's
keep it
for
cold,
sure.
which really helps a lot.
At one point, I remember you weren't eating at all the entire race.
Oh yeah. Certainly the early years, Ironman New Zealand was my second Ironman, and I wasn't able to take my left. They ride on the other side of the road there.
Oh.
I wasn't able to take my I just wasn't comfortable on the bike yet enough to take my left arm off the bars and grab a bottle. It's kind of hard to do.
Right.
And I didn't take any nutrition with me when I left for the ride. I didn't have any on my bike. So, but it was not, like I said, I've always been kind of laid back about it. I don't get stressed out, like, oh no, I'm not going to be able to get a bottle. What am I going to do? It's like, oh, I probably won't need it.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I didn't. So, and I had done a couple of marathons, maybe one marathon only before I started racing. But even in the early years while I was racing, I was still doing,
Marathon, right.
I was still running marathons, and I did not take nutrition during marathons. I could do, I felt better doing a marathon without drinking or eating anything. That was
But
just
drinking water, though, right?
maybe one or two. I didn't need
Really?
it. I didn't need it.
Wow. But
So that
okay,
kind of carried over.
let's go back. Your most recent was number 50 in Kona in October. What did you do there? Tell us, swim, bike, run. What did you do nutritionally?
So nothing for the swim. I have a protein drink in the morning.
Okay. Yeah, before. Okay.
Yeah, before, and then nothing during the swim. I mean, I'm actually having to try to remember. I took it was either I took Infinite. It's the nutrition drink that we're using this year. They have one called Go Far that has a little bit of protein in it. They have one called Go Faster, I think, but different mixes.
But
But
just
liquid.
liquid with a
And I
mix.
took that with me on the bike. But then once mine was gone, I just took cold water from the course.
Including the run?
The run, yeah, cold water from the course. And I had honey stinger gels.
Oh, so you did do some gels on
Yeah,
the run?
on the run.
On the run. Like how many? I'm just curious.
I probably had two full packets, and I probably had another one that I had in special needs that I didn't finish. By the end of the race, you're not going to finish it. You have it there in case you have it there, like as a suggestion to yourself. But
Yeah.
you're probably not going to use all of what you took. I've also used Lara bars a lot over the
Oh,
years. I
I
think I did
remember
have a
that.
Lara bar on the bike in Hawaii.
Okay. And then post-race, what do you typically try and do to
A recovery drink right away.
just a
So,
recovery drink,
yeah.
huh?
So Infinite has a good recovery drink.
Wow.
We did Hammer Nutrition for years, and they had oh, I don't remember what that one was called, but F2C had Recoverite. So each company has its recovery drink, and I always have one of those ready with a shaker bottle after the race.
Wow. So that is fascinating. I think one of the biggest issues I've seen, not just myself, but other athletes struggle with their stomach. And I think a lot of it is because they're ingesting a lot and the stomach has trouble processing. Have you had issues there or anything you've found that helps that? I've even seen Tums out on the race course. And what do you?
My stomach wasn't happy in Kona this year. So, I said Lara bars and honey stingers and Infinite drink, and it was just all a mix, and my body wasn't happy with it. So I definitely don't have it figured out, just like probably pretty much everyone.
Right. Wow. Okay, so there's three events: swim, bike, run. I think I know the answer to this. Your strongest event.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, it really has changed over the years. And starting out, it
Yeah.
was definitely the run.
Okay.
But yeah, certainly not anymore. I got strong on the bike then, kind of in the early 2000s, and was kind of, it was never the swim, we can put it that way.
Well, and does that fall to the, that was my next question, the weakest. Would you
Yeah, the
say
weakest
swim?
was definitely my swim. And I would say today, for sure, the bike is my strongest.
Well, I'll just speak from experience that I was on the course at Penticton one year going what I thought was a good clip, and Tana went by me, making me feel like I was standing still on the bike. I'll
On the
never
bike.
forget that. It was like, "Hi, Mike." And it's like, "Oh, look, oh, there she goes." Went right by. Okay, so there's people who know that may think you're just out training. I want to shift gears here a little and, you know, training all day, every day. When in fact, I know you've got a lot more going on in your life, including the fact that you're a principal scientist at Adobe. I know you've got a global team of people after you constantly. You're very busy at work. It sounds like an incredibly demanding environment. Tell us about your career and how you manage to balance your life, your work, and your training, because that is a challenge.
So for most of the years when I was doing Ironman, or doing so many a year anyway, I was working at startups, and yeah, startups are just crazy, crazy demanding. But Ironman is kind of a balance. It's not a balance in the traditional sense, but they're both so intense that they do kind of balance each other. I wasn't able to be a complete workaholic because I had to train enough to complete an Ironman, and I
Yeah.
wasn't able to train all day every day because I was a workaholic. So they do balance each other in a way,
Interesting. And
forced
when you
time
say
off.
balance, you mean in terms of your health too, that it
Yeah,
keeps you
right. In
kind of
terms,
in a healthy place, huh?
yeah, I
Wow.
tend to go all in on most things that I do. I think a lot of us do, right?
Yeah.
And so it's a forcing function to not go completely all in on one or the other, because I'm so all in on both.
Yeah. So what, I mean, let's get drilled down on that a little, because this is, of course, this is why I wrote a book about this. This work-life balancing is big. What are the tools or technology that you use to help you? I mean, even down to the Oura Ring or an
Yeah.
iWatch, or like what types of things are you using to help you with that?
Yeah, I've always been kind of really into the data. I wore Polar heart rate monitors back when those were the thing, and probably have data since maybe 96,
Wow.
from Polar, and then wore Garmin for years. Now I do everything from the Apple Watch. I do have the Oura Ring. I was a beta customer. I think I've had it since 2019. I like to geek out on the data. I have a personal app that I work on. It's kind of, all about analyzing the data, which is, I'm really into it, but at the same time, I've never really used it that much for my training.
Now, when you say a personal app you've developed, this is your own. You mean, in other words, you created it.
Yes, I'm always working on an app that I started in probably 2017.
Wow.
And just over the years, I bring it up to date with different tech. It's my way of keeping current.
It's just different workouts, different types of exercise, different
Yeah,
plans.
and the training log, the plan, like you
Okay.
said, correlates recovery data with training data.
So you do log all your training, obviously.
I log all of the data I know, or I have available, like all of my power numbers now. I have a power meter on the bike. I never had that for years. I don't look at it while I'm riding. I never had a bike computer with speedometer, any of that stuff. But now that Apple Watch has all of that, and you can have the
Yeah.
power meter, so I have it all on my wrist, but I don't look at it. It doesn't
Wow.
guide my training or my racing. I like to geek out on it afterwards.
And it's okay, so that's really helpful. What about how your nutrition plan works in with that? Not race nutrition plan, but How are you eating at home? What are you drinking? I know for a
Yeah.
long time you guys were paleo. Are you still
Yeah, we were
professing that?
paleo for a long time and that felt really great. And so we do still try to eat, paleo-ish with clean. We try to eat very clean, but to an extent. We're not overly strict about anything and, sometimes not strict at all. But
Which is
just
good.
always thinking about it. What was that?
I said, which is good. You've earned it.
But it's always on my mind, the nutrition and how I'm treating my body. And sleep is very important to me. I think you brought that up earlier, but just like a great recovery tool that that's one area that I really don't let myself work like I used to. And just forego the sleep. I don't do that anymore.
And you do use the Oura Ring? That's been a
I
helpful
love the
tool.
Oura Ring. I don't, I've had it, like I said, since I believe it was 2019, but every day. I don't think there's ever been a day I haven't looked at the data. It's one of the first things I do every day.
Fascinating. Okay, so
Okay.
let's talk big picture a little bit. What do you think? And I'm just talking as a bystander as I watch this now. I don't compete, but I'd heard that Kona, the World Championships, Ironman Triathlon World Championships in Kona were somewhat splitting with Nice. And I know for a fact this year the race was held in a women's only and then a men's only environment. Give us a
Right.
picture of that. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, so this was actually the last year for that. They've decided to bring everybody back in Kona next
Ah.
year. So,
Wonderful.
yeah, they announced that
Oh.
I think it was right before the race this year that they announced that. Nice is an amazing place to race. I've done the 70.3 there, and in fact, I'm racing in Nice this year
Oh,
in September
really?
again. It's a beautiful venue. It's a great race, but it is way too hard for an Ironman. The
Yeah.
Ironman there is just so challenging, and nobody wanted to do Worlds in Nice.
In these.
And they just weren't getting the numbers. People weren't, it was rolling. The slots to Worlds aren't supposed to roll. And when
Yeah.
it's Kona, they don't roll. And so
Yeah.
it wasn't working out. They weren't able to fill it. So they're going back to the combined men and women's race. And it's been a little chaotic. When they first announced it this year, they had a whole new scheme for how they were going to award slots to men and women. It wasn't just, so many slots to the men, so many slots to the women, and it rolls. They had, it's actually very complicated. They do this for 70.3s also. They put all of the roll downs in the same bucket, men and women. So each, we won't go into all of the details, but the roll down ceremonies have gotten very data driven. I don't know. They're trying to make it, they want it to be competitive.
Yeah. Well, and just to clarify, anybody that doesn't know, the roll down ceremony is all about those very few slots that are available. You have to be there that day, right then, to
Right.
when they call your name to get it. And
Yes.
so if you're not, it rolls down, right?
Right. Yeah, and
Wow.
it's a little. You don't exactly know when your name's going to be called now because you're in a big list of all competitors, men and women, all age groups, and they're going through, they've ranked everybody according to age and how fast your age group was that day, how
Oh,
fast. So there's a
really?
lot, yeah, there's a lot more to it where they're really trying to get a competitive field at Worlds. So the and so when they first announced that Ironman was all coming back, they announced how they were going to do the slot allocation for Hawaii was going to be different than it is for 70.3. And it didn't work out for the first couple of races that happened already this year that are qualifiers for next year. The allocation just didn't work out. No women were getting slots. So they had
Wow.
to, so then they had to rethink everything. And so Ironman is doing their best. They're figuring it out. They've decided to, even though we're in the midst of a year with people qualifying, they decided to redo their strategy and they've emailed people and said, given slots that would have been awarded in their new rules. So
Oh my gosh. I got to tell you, that's the best thing I have heard. And especially even, I don't know, you tell us, how was it competing in a women's only race versus in the past? I know I've always competed where they were together And you know, it could be a man or a woman, but you always find someone in the race to help pull you through the end of that marathon. And if it was a woman, to me, sometimes I've had better luck. I don't know. How do you feel? You
Yeah,
did it
no,
to this year.
I definitely enjoy racing with the men too, but I feel privileged to have raced the last women's only race. I'll be honest, I probably would not have qualified if it was the combined men's and women's. I mean, I really think that
Interesting.
that's part of what got me there, which makes it special. But
Because they could
I
let more women in, is what you mean,
exactly
by
they could
having
let
just
more,
one race.
right? So it's going to be harder again. I'm still going to be trying. I'm still going to be trying to get back to Hawaii. And yeah, I like racing with the men. But it was just as much fun this year with the women's only race though too. There's
Well, Hawaii has special significance because that is the race. It always has been.
right. That's
I'm
part of it too.
noticing a gold pendant with the shape of Hawaii. What, tell us, what's that about that you're wearing?
Yeah, so I got this at Big Island Jewelers this year for my 50th. It's in the shape of the Hawaiian island with the M dot in the middle. So I call this my tattoo. You know how
Oh.
I don't know if you remember back in the day, everyone got the M dot tattoo on their calf,
Yes.
and not really a tattoo person, but now I have my tattoo.
I have one on my butt, actually. No, I'm
Do
kidding.
you? Okay.
Oh my gosh, that's perfect. Did they have that already, or do you had it made? They had them there?
They had them there. They had a
Oh,
couple of different styles.
that's beautiful. That's wonderful. That's very significant. So, winding down, I'm just curious to hear. I know I've heard a few stories from you, but what would be some memorable race day disasters? Or just where everything went wrong days. I don't know. You tell me. You've told me a few in the past.
Yeah. Well, I guess it was before a race day. I did dislocate a finger once 2 weeks before Kona. So, but that's
And you still raced?
I mean, it was a finger. It was, I'm
Well,
not the kind of person who's going to race with like a broken collarbone. I do know somebody who did that. But
oh my gosh.
yeah, a dislocated finger made the swim kind of difficult. There was 1 year before Texas. I was doing Texas, which is kind of an early season race, so doing a lot of riding on the spin bike, and I had a climbing injury on my forearm, and it was making shifting really difficult. So
Oh.
I wasn't able to get in the long rides. Long story short, hadn't done enough training. The race was just really hard, and I had kind of decided during the bike, just the way I felt, that I wasn't going to finish the race. It wasn't going to be worth it. I'd kind of made up my mind. I was going to get into transition, and that was my day. I got into transition and realized it was 1 p.m.
Oh.
What else was I going to do? I had
Yeah.
until midnight.
You've got a whole day ahead
I
of
had
you.
until midnight to do a marathon. So,
You
that's a
just.
race that I finished that I can't really say I raced. And then as far as does that, this was a 70.3, but just like kind of thinking one of the dumbest things I did a 70.3 in Puerto Rico where our transition was in a soccer field, grass. And I had put my Lara bars, I think I had them in a baggie, and I would throw them in my jog bra. That's how I
Yeah.
carried my nutrition.
Yeah.
Well, there were fire ants all over the soccer field. And I had left my, baggie of nutrition
Oh,
on the
my
field
word.
for the whole swim, and stuck it in my jog bra for the bike. So that made for a good
Oh, my
day.
word. And you mentioned 1 year at Kona where you either got blown off the bike near Hawaii or something, the wind was so bad.
Well, I was in Kona when people got blown off the bike. No,
Okay, that's what
I
it
was never
was.
blown
Okay.
off my bike, but had a girlfriend who broke her hip. You probably remember Kevin Kennedy.
Yeah, the
For that
name,
name,
I
he
do.
was blown
Yeah.
off 1 year
Oh,
in Hawaii
gosh.
and ended his race. So, yeah, I did the years where that happened. I was blown where definitely the bike was picked up, but was never blown
Never
off my
went
bike.
down. Well, and you mentioned the dreaded word, DNF, do not finish, or did not finish. Any of the 50?
So none of the Ironmans, like I said, I did finish
Really?
that Texas. There was one I was doing a Worlds, long course Worlds in Sweden that I DNF'd. I had three flats and another athlete had thrown me a cartridge, and apparently that's not legal. It is an Ironman, but it wasn't legal in Worlds. So I was disqualified. I did finish the race. You know, I went on to run. They didn't take me off the course, but I wasn't in the finishing results.
So it's hard to understand 50 Ironman triathlons, not one DNF is really hard to get my arms around. There must be strategy there. Now, what about injuries in training? Obviously, not in the race enough to stop you, but injuries that you've had to manage. And what have you done
Yeah, so
there?
there was the did not start that I had in St. George when I crashed and broke my collarbone and four ribs 3 weeks before the race.
On a training ride.
Yeah, I was riding down Alpine and a garbage truck had leaked hydraulic oil all the way from one of those sharp turns on Alpine. And yeah, there was no missing it. I just lost the front wheel,
Yeah,
and
down.
while I was there, another bike even crashed. They had to bring sand to control the spill. It was really bad.
But what about any other, calf pulls, hamstrings, and nothing really?
Well, yeah, I mean,
Knees, hips?
I've had the injuries that you deal with, but nothing that has kept me out of a race other than the broken bones.
Wow.
I did pull my hamstring 1 year. You probably know that. I really haven't been the same
I'm aware
runner
of that.
since. So yeah, things to deal with that way, but not significant injuries like, torn ligaments or things where you just can't even race. So I've been really lucky that way. I think that is, like you said, that is kind of the hard part of it, is making it to the start line
Yeah,
of 50
exactly.
races. And yeah, there was the 2022 did not starts that I had, a couple of them
Yeah.
actually.
And what about what you're using? Because I don't think that's by accident, by the way. I think it's a combination of your training and your thoughtfulness with what you're doing. But I know you guys have different tools. I'm forgetting the Theragun or
Yeah, the
what
Hyperice.
proactive things are you doing along that line? Like any
Yeah.
red light therapy or any DMSO?
Oh, I did some red light when you mentioned that way
Yeah.
back. I haven't been doing that recently. I did buy some DMSO on your recommendation, and I think it ate through the back of our medicine cabinet.
That's okay. It would still fix the injury.
Yeah, we have the Hyperice, the Normatec boots. The compression
Okay.
boots, love those. They actually even help with sleep. I do it for both recovery and for
Is
sleep.
that vibration or no?
It's compression.
Compression. Got
It
it. Got it.
flushes. It, you know, it,
Right.
it's got routines where it compresses different compartments and then back out.
Got
And
it.
it's, yeah, it those are great. The Hyperice gun, similar to the Theragun, and then just mobility. Do a lot of
Automobility.
rolling. Hyperice has the I guess the vibrating rollers too, that makes the rolling even more intense, but just a lot of rolling and movement. I've never been a big, stretcher. I wasn't really good stretching before running and such, but just lots of movement. I think climbing also is just a really
Thank
good
you.
sport
I
for
think you're right.
mobility and functional strength.
Because you don't, do you go to the gym and lift weights?
I do. I have a
You do?
trainer here at work. Once a week, I do personal training,
You do.
and I
Okay.
never miss it. In fact, it's tomorrow morning.
Oh, wow.
I try very hard to never miss that. So, and I
And
do a full half hour of mobility before.
I'm just going to keep throwing these out because I've heard some of these from you. What's the cold chamber post race? You said
Oh,
you would go
the
into,
cryotherapy. I used to love that. I haven't done that in years.
but that was like a real fast recovery after a race. I can remember you telling me a day or two later you weren't even sore.
Not so much right after a race, but after training. I mean, I would
Training.
love it after a race, but it would, it's not available on site. I used to have one close by my work, and I would go just regularly after long training. So yeah, you
Fantastic.
recover right away. It's actually really popular. They use it in the NBA, and it's still big. I just don't have one convenient to me where I can go,
Okay.
you know. It's such a short amount of time. It's hard if you have to travel a long way to get there.
Absolutely. So if you could go back and talk to Tana before Iron Man number one, what would you tell her?
Yeah, I mean, kind of the same thing that I tell people that I talk to today. It's actually really fun when somebody, it happened just this last week in the gym. I was wearing an Iron Man shirt and somebody wanted to know all about Iron Man because they thought about doing one. And it really does remind me of me back when I was doing my first and how, everything was new. You don't know anything about anything. You're just excited to do one and immediately addicted. And I don't have a lot of advice other than excitement. But I wouldn't change how I did it. Actually, there's one thing that I would tell Tana specifically is don't take your run for granted. I took my run for granted and
Yeah, you were a runner.
I
You
kind of
were a
lost
runner. I
my run.
remember that.
I was a runner, which meant that, especially for Iron Man, that the run was just strong without working at it for a very long time until it wasn't. And when it wasn't, it really wasn't. And now I wish I could get it back.
We used to get you at the 7x7 track club, but it's kind of faded. But I do remember you ran cross country in college, right?
I did,
Yeah,
yeah.
you were. I remember that, and you showed it
I
when you
wasn't
could
all
run.
that fast then. I was a walk-on. But yeah, I could definitely run. And after cross country, I did a couple of marathons and I was a pretty fast marathoner, I think. So Ironman New Zealand was my second Ironman, and I believe that was a 3:35 marathon. I'm nowhere near that these days.
Yeah, that's
And for
incredible.
Ironman, that's a pretty fast
That's
marathon.
screaming. That is screaming. Oh my gosh. Well, I'll just bring it to a close here. If you could bring out the prestigious Chuck Trophy, for those of you who don't know, there is a track club in Los Altos called the 7x7, 7 miles by 7 a.m. And Tana, we would like to officially award Chuck to you. For an accomplishment beyond what any of us can imagine, you are a total inspiration to all of us. Congratulations, job well done. Just incredible story. And thanks so much for sharing the time. I guarantee you're planting seeds for many people that are going to see this. So thank you, Tana. Well done.
Thank you, Mike. It was really nice.